Welcome to the Creatively Freelancing Podcast, Episode 2. Today, I'm talking to producer Michelle Mackay about finances. Creativity and financial acumen don't always go hand in hand. As a theatre producer, do you have any tips to help?
Hopefully they're helpful. That is interesting. And I think that is something that, you know, should go into drama schools, I think, because the amount of people that don't even know how to actually just draw up an invoice for work is really interesting. They don't know what to put on there to the point of even omitting their bank details. And I'm like, that's brilliant, but how do I actually pay you? And I think there's something to be said about actually just having basic accountancy or business, like personal business skills as part of a drama course, because people are clueless and why would they know unless you need to know it? And like, so I actually have a business degree, though I've been in and out of theatre since I was young. So, and then I worked in HR and payroll, so I kind of have a really like good overview. And my mum is an accountant as well. So those sorts of things made me quite sensible anyway and have a good understanding. I think one of the best tips that my mum actually gave me when I started freelancing was to set up a separate account where all my pay, so anything I invoice, goes into, and then I pay myself a wage from that, so I know exactly what I'm living off of, because I find that, and I'm sure you do and others do as well, if it's in your account, it's so easy for it to go. You can keep a track a lot better of your cash flow, what you need, and then you're not actually unnecessarily dipping into things where, down the line, you know, when you've got a bit more extra money, you think, well, hey, but I've always been quite strict with myself that that's what I can live off of, whatever that means to anybody. And that may, I've been able to, so when I'm in more difficult times, when I've not so much work, I've got that as a separate, and I know what I have and what I need. So I think that's a really useful tip and has helped me in the last sort of 5-6 years since I have been freelancing. I think with tax returns, obviously we all be going through our own tax returns, basic bookkeeping. It came from my mum because that was what she was first and foremost. But I keep a really simple spreadsheet of everything in and out. I do it on a cash reporting basis, which is much easier to do your tax return with. So the day that it enters my bank account or the day that it leaves, I mark it on. So that any kind of expenses, like buses, trains, trams, that are specifically for going to or from a job, anything that comes in, any fees that I get paid for jobs, and then it's literally a straight in out. It makes your accounting so much easier for your tax return. You can literally do what's come in, less any tax, any NI that's maybe been taken off, because you'd also obviously report on a lot of people will work pays you earn jobs and have self-employed, which actually isn't as complicated as it might seem, really, because all of your pays you earn is already in the system against your national insurance number. So you're literally just doing a simple in and out of what you've paid in and what you've paid out. And then you're not having to do creditors or things that I'm due in. It all literally becomes a cash reporting basis of in out. And it's so much simpler. And I have done that for the last 6 years without issue. And it's so much easier to keep hold of and just be quite stringent with what you hold on to.
In theory, that sounds really simple, I guess. You know, how often do you do that as and when it happens? How often would you add to the spreadsheet?
It depends. It depends what's going on, how busy I am, you know, or how not busy I am. But I would always, because it's going into a separate account as well, you're not literally, so like your money in's coming from a separate account, so that you're not having to necessarily go through like your day-to-day transactions as well. So it's a bit
right
to track, to do like a reconciliation. I do keep hold of all my receipts. I just chuck them in a wallet, and then
physical receipts, right? Okay.
Any physical receipts, I'll just hold on to. I don't tend to. When I first started, I used to print off every invoice that I created. And I mean, I don't need to. They're all on my computer and I've got backups, whatever. But I do keep any physical receipts, and I keep, you know, and I'll store anything electronically into a specific folder for that tax year. But yeah, I think sometimes if you get into the habit of doing it, maybe at the beginning of a week or the end of the week where you find that you're not busy, or you know, at the end of a busier period, make sure you set aside some time for kind of personal admin. But I would be doing it minimum once a month, otherwise you can lose track of yourself.
I think doing it in tandem with a separate bank account's a really good tip. Yeah, and anyone can do that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not, yeah, you can have more than one. Just find one that's, you know, that's you're not really going to get charged a fee for, that you can move things in and out easily. But yeah, I think it's a, I think that's one of the best things that I actually did and helped me manage my money a lot more clearly, particularly when things are a bit tighter. It has helped enormously. It doesn't have to be as complicated as all that, which is why I'm like a simple in out with just a description of what it is. You know, I mean, mine are more detailed. I've got like, I categorize it and things like that. But again, you can, you need to do that at later to know what's an expense or what, you know, sometimes you'll invoice and you'll get expenses back for a job as well. You get classed against an expense or an expense in against an expense out, that would balance each other out. But, you know, if you really keep it that simple, it doesn't have to be overcomplicated, and that would just keep you right. And it doesn't have to be too consuming either, I don't think.
You're a professional producer. I know a lot of people that work in the theatre industry have started off producing their own work and obviously doing funding requests and so on, doing a lot of the things you do, but without the experience you have. So in terms of the financial bits and pieces there, keeping a track of the ins and outs of a project, do you have any specific tips there?
Yeah, I'm not sure how helpful they are. I mean, I'm a bit of a spreadsheet whiz. Yeah, so I love a spreadsheet. But I think, again, get the grant money put into a separate account, so it's not within your own thing, it's completely separate. So I have like a cash flow account spreadsheet where I keep track of my own monies, but also the open project monies or individual money that I get in for projects. Because I've been doing that for the last 5 years as an individual. So again, that would all come into that same account. And then within that, I do, within each of my budgets, I'll have like a spend tracker, which I'll allocate against what expenditure line it goes against. So I'll just put it in the correct column, which will then update. It sounds a little bit complicated. It's not really as complicated.
No, I think a very basic course in Excel and people would understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, you can make it overcomplicated with macros and all sorts of stuff. I don't. It's just simple table, you know, copying over a cell into another spreadsheet to keep track of totals, which isn't overcomplicated. And again, a really simple spreadsheet course. There is things I know, like on Facebook or certain like networks, and there's definitely accountancy or tax return spreadsheet, which someone has put on there as a template. They've formulas are already in there, which would be really useful for someone who hasn't.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and YouTube's your friend as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. You find a lot, especially when it comes to tax returns, you read it all and you just, it can be a bit of a minefield. It overcomplicates it, and the language it uses, and it's not that hard. It would be made as simple as I've said it is. That's all I've done. And it's worth pointing out, because I know what people get really confused about, especially when they're applying for funding, is do they put that on their tax returns? No, you don't need to, because it's technically not your money. What you would record is the money that you have taken as a fee from that, but not recording it. Otherwise, it becomes so complicated. You're then having to track everything that's gone out, and you're having to categorize it. And literally, it's not your money. So you just record what your fee from that.
Your personal income.
Yeah. Your personal income from it, because it's your personal tax returns. I wouldn't be putting your grant money in there, and I haven't been doing that. That was advice that I got when I first started out, because that was one of the things that confused me when I first started as well.
The cash flow is not always going to be healthy. And even for the most professional of us, and I say us in the loosest possible term, there's going to be ups and downs. Other than having the separate bank account. This is maybe an unfair question, but do you have any advice there?
I mean, I, again, like, this is all stuff that got instilled in me that when I was really young, really, but I've always saved. So I've always put a little bit aside. Always pay your national insurance as well. Make sure you do, because if you get pregnant or for whatever reason and you need benefits, you need to have paid your full stamp, paid your EDI. So please do it. Maybe that's more relevant for the women rather than are listening than the men, because obviously that has a big effect on maternity allowance and maternity statutory maternity. So it doesn't feel like it's something worth paying into, but actually it does have future implications. So do make sure you do it. But even if you're only putting away, so really silly things, like my mum's always put money aside for Christmas. She's always had like a little pot. So when she comes to Christmas shopping, it's not like it doesn't come to everything comes up in December and you're like, how am I going to afford it? Even if I was just putting a £10 a month, like literally a physical £10 note, I actually do have a little separate account where I do top ups, and you know that you just don't think about it and you don't notice it. Like Monzo accounts do that, RBS do that, which allow you to do roundups, which actually, before you know it, it's added up a lot and you don't really notice it. But things like that, where you think about the times in a year where you've got a bigger financial outlay. So Christmas is always one of those ones where I always find myself absolutely skint and dying in January. My mum, that's what my mum always did since I was a kid. And I've started doing in a more electronic way, but it helps. I've always put money away, even if it's 20 quid, as much as you can, that's not going to have a massive impact, and put that into your monthly budget.
Yep.
I think sometimes we just don't think ahead of that rainy day, but I mean, the amount of times I've been caught out with something or other, and then I have actually got a backup. And obviously, I was lucky, I worked an HR job for 10 years and I did a lot of traveling and did a lot of things that I wanted to do, but I also did manage to put quite a bit away at that point as well. And obviously, I'm not so young anymore, but you think about pensions and not, when you think about them when you're young, you don't really think of them as anything. But actually, when you're thinking about that in 40, 50 years' time, when you're coming to that age, and we are going to be like working till we're about 17 dead on our feet, I think, at this rate. But
Absolutely.
they are the worth thinking about now. And even when you are straight out of drama school and you think, oh, it's not, but actually it is. And just, join your equity pension, or in any little bit that you can get it over time, it makes a difference. Just putting that 20 quid away a month, that's not going to break the bank. To kind of, when you do have it, you kind of have to just take advantage of it and make sure that you're being sensible, because we don't have that security within this industry, and so you have to make it as secure as we can for ourselves.
I'd like to go back to what you were saying. Sorry, I'm jumping about a bit here, but you were talking about it's simpler than you think. That's really good advice, especially when it comes to your tax return, because it's scary. If you know what you're doing, it can be relatively straightforward. How do we then get from that point of panic to, okay, I know what I'm doing here?
That's a good question. I think if you are organized, I think that's probably why I'm a producer. I'm a bit of a project manager and I like the overview and being organized. But I think if you are organized and just keep a simple track of it, it's so much easier. I know actors are still doing it that are older than me, and they still get to December, January, and they're frantically trying to pull all the receipts together, and it's not worth the stress. It really isn't. And just put some time once a month, go through the receipts in that packet or that envelope, whatever you put them in, and go through your bank account to see what's come in, track it all just by date, make sure you're clear, make sure your figures tally, and on you go. And then actually it's literally a case of just adding your columns together and plugging the figures into your tax return. Really, there's not a huge amount else to it. Get organized and just do it, because save yourself the stress at the end of the tax year.
Would you suggest, I mean, we were talking about the simplicity of it. I know that some people do hire an accountant. Do you think that's worthwhile if they're that scared?
No.
No? Right, okay.
Yeah, well, yes, actually. I first went freelance in 2015. And so when I did my first tax return, I was overwhelmed. Even though I had a wealth of experience in terms of payroll, I understood sort of how tax and tax codes and you know, pay as you earn and all of that stuff worked. But I was quite overwhelmed with, because I still had been working pay as you earn day jobs plus doing some acting and theater stuff. And I was quite overwhelmed by it. I sought out somebody through just through like a actor networks that you're part of, like through Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And somebody, and I think I paid him, I think it was like 50 quid basically, to have a session with him just to talk through my questions, specific questions that I had, because I wasn't a complete novice. But I was a few things I was like, I wanted to make sure I got it right. Because obviously nobody wants to end up getting themselves in trouble with a tax bill. So I think I paid him about 50 quid and asked him my questions, and he sense checked basically my spreadsheet with my ins and outs and made sure that it all looked sensible,
Right,
basically.
okay.
It wasn't, and I didn't hire an accountant to do that because I genuinely don't think it is, and they're expensive. And for the amount of money that we're earning as well, like we're, to be fair, like you're not probably gonna, until you're earning a lot more, you're gonna really come, you're not gonna go, you know, you're under the radar really. But that doesn't mean to say we don't do it properly, because they can do spot checks. So it's not that we're completely, you know, out of reach within that. But I think to hire an accountant is a lot of money. I don't think is necessary for the level of income and complexity of the sort of income and outgoings that we would have as freelancers in this industry at this level. Once you kind of got your own company and you're doing, you know, multiple complex projects, that's a different story. But as a freelance artist, I wouldn't say you do. But I did seek advice. I would say, you know, I've definitely been, I cross paths with young, like, well, not necessarily young, emerging actors and directors, writers, and I've quite often had helped them out or talked them through one or two things. And, you know, I'm always on hand to help people answer a question here or there. So, and I'm sure there are people, other people out there that have got knowledge. There's definitely networks within our communities that people have that knowledge and just reach out, ask the question. There'll be somebody that knows it can help. I think the one thing I wasn't clear of, which I would still say to a point I'm not necessarily as clear on, is what you can claim on expenses. That's always quite a fuzzy thing, I think. I'm not sure I have all the answers to that, but certainly can any travel or accommodation that's associated with that you need to pay out to for work would cover that. I think if you have any, if you're out of work for the day and away from home and you've got meals, you can cover that to a certain amount. I think it's like £30 per day or something like that for like a per diem if you're away from your home base. You can claim sort of theatre tickets. Within reason. If you're doing that constantly, I think you want to check yourself, but you can actually do that because you can argue that that is part of your research. So yes, you can do that. If you work, so I work from home, so I can claim, there's, if you look on the HMRC website, it tells you how much you can claim per day or per week for however many hours you work from your home, and you can claim that as an expense. So that's always really useful to know. It's not huge, but any little bit helps that you can, that comes off the money that you come in, that you can deduct that it's non-taxable, is the better. So especially as you're paying those money, that money out anyway for rent and bills.
And what about equipment? Microphone, laptop, things like that?
If it's for your work specifically, I mean, I've never put a laptop on there, but I'm about to do that with my own company for this year, because then you have to work in a depreciation and that all becomes a bit complicated. But certainly if you need to buy something specifically in order to carry out your work, absolutely. If you've got any subscriptions, so like your Equity membership or Back2 membership, FST membership, that all comes out as an expense. Any training as well would come out as an expense. So anything that's to do with you developing yourself for your work, or that's for your work to, for you to be able to do your work, then that all is legitimate expenses.
This is quite a nice way to end, actually, because I feel like it's gone round in a circle. You said right at the beginning, this information should be available when people train, because if they knew this, it would stop a lot of stress and they would possibly save themselves some money as well.
Yeah, I think people would start off their kind of career in the right way. We're trained, we're creatives, we're trained to think of a certain way. We're not thinking in that way. So when as soon as you have to, people that I know, they just go into panic and think, well, I don't know this stuff. And why would you? Because you haven't been told it. It can be simplified. It can be, if you're actually sought and told it, how to get set up, provide you with like simple templates and just know what you're doing from the offset, it would make life so much easier and take away, like you say, the stress and worry about it. And help people maybe navigate that life a bit easier because
Yep.
it's tough.
Let's make it happen, Michelle.
Just add it in. It would be a
Yeah.
half day at most, of course. It would be simple right at the end just to help people leave with some of the skills, the practical skill set that they need to go into the real world.
Thank you very much, Michelle, for all those useful tips about finances. If you have an idea of a topic that you'd like to hear us discuss, or if you'd like to guest on the podcast yourself, then drop me an email at wendy@wendylapcreative.com. I do hope you'll listen in again next week for episode 3.